Well, good evening, everyone. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, Jesus is all the world to me. Well, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from hands up. You never run down on me. Well, your love never fails and never gives up. You never run down on me.
Never know how much he calls to see.
Be seated, please.
Because my printer is out of ink, and it's been out of ink for a while, but I'm really debating on whether I need to buy ink or another printer because the ink costs as much as a printer. It's crazy. So you can continue to buy printer after printer rather than buying ink, I think. But turn with me to Colossians, the first chapter. And I want to tell you a story about our vacation. We went to the beach, and almost the whole time we were there, they had red flag on the beach. Anybody know what that means? I don't know if it means you're not supposed to swim or if it's swim at your own risk. Either way, it was pretty ferocious at times. Anyway, we're playing out. We set our umbrella up, the tent and all that, got everything set up. We had three, four families there. And you know how it is. You go out into the water, and the waves don't come like straight on. They look like they are, but there's this current going on. There's some weirdness going on there in the current, and they have what's called riptide. It'll try to take you back out. And you could really feel that when we were there. But we started right there. I could turn and look. Thank you, Caleb. I could turn and look. Do I need to say all that again? And we were dead center with our family, our tent, everything was there. And we get to playing around. We had what they call boogie boards or whatever, and we were playing around, just not paying attention. And I look up, and next thing I know, I'm looking up there, and my family's not there. That's somebody else. In fact, I don't even see them. And then I look way down the beach, and they're way down here. We had drifted, and it just seemed like a matter of a few minutes that we had drifted from this location to this location. And this evening, I want to talk to you about just that, about how we drift. We tend to drift, don't we? As Christians, we tend to drift. And, you know, Brother Laney says, let's keep the main thing. And sometimes we don't. We get distracted. And we don't keep the main thing the main thing. And what we find out is that the main thing is not really a thing at all. The main thing is a person, isn't it? The main thing is Jesus. And He's got to stay at the very center of our focus. Otherwise, we tend to drift, and we'll drift off. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm just going to go through this verse by verse, just a few verses here. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. But I want you to understand why we should put Him at the center, and why He is the center, whether we put Him there or not. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people. This is those sanctified saints that I was telling you about this morning. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. Now, this faith and love he's talking about are two characteristics that we would probably say that a Christian must have. Two markers that you would say, I can look at this person and I can tell they're a Christian for sure because they have faith in Christ and they have love for God's people. In fact, these are the two commandments that John wrote about and he talked about. He said his commandments are not burdensome. He's not putting this huge, tremendous burden on you and more stress and anxiety on you. What he's asking you to do is believe in him and love others. That's it. So faith and love. He goes on in verse 5 to say this faith and love that spring from, look where it comes from. Look where this comes from. It comes from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. So let me just say this. There are a lot of messages of the gospel out there. Not all of them are true. In fact, there's a lot of almost true messages. There's a lot of untrue messages of the gospel. You guys, it's no secret. You turn on Trinity Broadcast Network, you're going to see some of this. Right? And I can barely stand to watch some of them. You know, whether it be the prosperity teaching or this Jesus plus this or this human effort type teaching or name it, claim it, whatever. There's these gospels out there that are not the true gospel. They're imposters. They're fakes. They're counterfeits. Verse 6, it says, this true message of the gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood what? What does it say? You truly understood God's grace. When did the gospel start bearing fruit? Look at it closely. When did it start bearing fruit? When they heard and truly understood God's grace. What is it that they heard? They heard about God's grace, the grace of God. What is it that they understood? They understood the grace of God. So when a person hears and truly understands, and let me tell you, there are a lot of people and a lot of Christians who do not understand the grace of God. Sadly, they have watered it down. They have made it something that you have to balance with fear and law and obedience and discipline. That has nothing to do with God's grace. So when a person hears and truly understands the grace of God, look at what happens. What do we see? What's the result? We see this bearing of fruit and this increasing. We got people saying, hey, watch out for that grace. Watch out for that grace. Not too much, because it'll cause people to go off the rails in sin. And look at what Paul's saying here. Just exactly the opposite. He's saying this opposite view of God's grace. When we hear the message of God's grace and we understand it, it can only take us in one direction. Grace is not this movement, this New Age movement, guys. God's grace is as old as God. It's not this movement. It's not just about some sort of forgiveness by God. Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus. Jesus is grace. The fruit of grace is the fruit of the Spirit, because He is Spirit of grace. What's Paul witnessing about grace is this pattern that's happening all over where the true gospel of grace is being preached. What's he seeing as the result? He's seeing all of this happen. All over the world it's happening. Where people are hearing and understanding, truly understanding God's grace. And it's not just about salvation by grace. It's also, guys, our new identity is by grace. Our power over sin is also by grace. Our changed life is by God's grace. Amen? I mean, if we only have this teeny tiny understanding of grace, then we will just have a teeny tiny benefit from that. He's stating here that he's like, guys, I have seen this trend going on. And when people begin to understand grace, man, I can't even explain to you the impact that it has. But it's happening everywhere that grace is being preached and where grace is being understood. This trend is taking off. This bearing of fruit and this growing. It's happening everywhere that grace is preached and understood. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So he's praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Guys, God's will is not a mystery. Now, later in Colossians, it says that it was a mystery, but now it's been revealed. God's will has been revealed. It's not a trick. It's not a riddle. It's not some equation in the Bible that you have to figure out or some moving target that you have to try to find in your life to hit God's will. God's will is very clear and very plain for us. God's will is Christ. God's will is Jesus. In you, through you, God's will is Christ Himself. Verse 10. I'm sorry, we're still in verse 9. Okay, he says, for this reason, we've not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. This comes from the Spirit. This is what we call spiritual growth in the Christian world. It comes from God. As we increase in knowledge about the goodness of God, it has this lasting impact on us, doesn't it? It changes us. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in, here it is again, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. Look at where this strength comes from. Is this a strength that we conjure up ourselves, that we muster up? No, this strength, everything comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. He's responsible for all of it. Even our faith comes from Him. Do you know that? That He apportions a portion of faith to everyone? It comes from Him, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. This isn't an understanding, guys, of doctrinal facts. We can sit around a table and all talk doctrinal facts. We can sit around the table and talk about scholarly truths about Scripture. But this is an understanding of a person. This is an intimate understanding of God Himself. I see this stability, you know, that this talks about. It talks about that we may have great endurance and patience. And I see this. I see this in Christians more than any other people group. Where things that would rock the people in the world, lost people, would be rocked by something to the core, and I see Christians handle them with grace. You know, where the world would be freaking out about something that's happened in their lives, and the same thing happened to a Christian, and they're not shaken. They're standing firm, they're patient, they're enduring. There's a stability there. That's really just unexplainable when we suffer loss. Verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What qualifications do you have? You guys want to take turns? Let's stand up and you can just share with me your qualifications to be called a child of God. What have you earned? Where did you get your qualifications? And we want to stand up and maybe say that, oh, I do a lot of Bible study, or I give a lot, or I'm benevolent, and I help people out. We weren't qualified, were we? We weren't qualified in ourselves, but He has qualified us. Where does it come from? He qualified us. It's all about your qualifications. You know, when you go get a job and look for a job in the job market, it's all about your qualifications, right? What qualifies you? What qualifications do you have? So this is saying you have been qualified. And if He qualified you, how good a job did He do? If He's the one that's doing the qualifying for you, how good a job is it, and how qualified are you? So you don't have to go shopping for more qualifications. You don't have to go seek to attain more. And I've heard this, you know, have you received the gift of tongues? Did you receive the second blessing? Did you get the second baptism? And they just want to put Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this. And they want to add on more qualifications, and they're doing the very same thing that Satan was doing in the garden with Adam and Eve, telling them, hey, God's not enough, and He's holding out on you. And if you're not careful, you'll have people that are even close to you that'll come to you and feed you some of this, saying, hey, I know you got Jesus, but you need to do this thing. And I'm involved in this thing, and I'm doing this thing, and you need to be doing this thing. And what you're going to see is that Jesus is the substance of all things. He is our everything. Without Him, there is nothing. Amen? So don't listen to the noise. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Faith alone in Christ alone. See, we don't have to go shopping for more qualifications. Peter states that we have all that we need for life and godliness when we have Christ. And we have Him. If you're a Christian, you have Him. We're not in the process of being qualified. He has qualified us. Just like, look at what we have. Look at the state and the reference here on our redemption and our forgiveness. We are not being redeemed. Just like you are not being forgiven. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have them both in Him. In Christ, we have this. Verse 15, this is the part I really wanted to get to. This is some of my favorite scriptures in all of God's Word. Because it's all talking about and bragging on who Jesus is. Verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Remember what we talked about this morning. If you've seen the Son, you have seen the Father. I wonder what God looks like. Well, here you go. The Son's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And we say, you need to put God first. You better put God first in your life. You need to try to get God first in your life. And what this is saying is, whether you do it or not, He is first. God is first. And we try to put Him on some list and put Him at the top of it. And He's saying, I don't need your list. I'm first. Whether you believe it, whether you know it, whether you want to do anything with that or not, I am first. He is first. And He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And later it says in Colossians that all that fullness now dwells in you. I don't have that here. We're not going to get that far tonight. But it says that we have the fullness of Christ. That same fullness we have. He was pleased to have all this fullness dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Ephesians tells us that we were brought near by the blood. That's how you were brought close to God. That's how you get close to God, is through the blood. You were brought near by the blood. It pleased God to redeem you through Christ and His shed blood. Doesn't it feel good to be reconciled? Have you ever been at odds with somebody for a time and you just didn't sleep well or just didn't sit well with you and you're just like, man, I just wish we could reconcile? I have. I've done that. And man, when you finally get to reconcile and it's a sincere, authentic reconciliation, it's such a relief, isn't it? It's just a weight off your shoulders, and it just feels great to be reconciled. Once you were alienated from God, this is talking about who you were. You were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And we have an accuser. Amen. You have an accuser. You have an enemy, and that's all he wants to do is accuse you. But we're free from accusation, for there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans chapter 8. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So I see something here that would open up the door for somebody to say, well, you can lose this. If you don't continue, you can lose it. So let's look at this in context. This letter was written to the Colossians. They were Gentiles. Paul probably didn't know who all was going to read this letter by name. He didn't know them all personally. He just knew that this letter was going to go to that church, and that church was going to deploy this letter and people were going to get to hear it. So what he's saying is, if you have tasted the goodness of God and you've not partaken in it and received it, and you turn and you say, okay, I don't want that. You didn't continue in it. If you didn't continue and you walked away from it, that's it, guys. So he's talking about turning from the gospel. He's not talking about losing your salvation. Guys, our salvation is wrapped up in his eternal life. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us that he's able to save us completely, not halfway, not a little bit, not kinda, but he's able to save us completely because he lives forever. So my salvation is not wrapped up in the quality of my life and my good performance. My salvation is wrapped up in the length of his life. Amen? So I can lose it when he loses his life, his eternal life. Is that going to happen? He's the sum of all things. He's the substance of all things. This is talking about Christ on the atomic level. That all of this is held together by him. Without him existing, none of this would exist. I mean, literally, he is holding all of this together. It's not just the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that's out there, but it's everything is held together by him. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Would you all stand with me? Todd Bowling, you care to dismiss us this evening?